Well, good morning, church. My name is Yosef. I'm one of the pastors here. Let's pray together before we listen to God's word. Heavenly Father, thank you for today, Lord. Thank you for the day of Pentecost. Father, we are thankful that this morning we are here to worship you. Please be with us, Lord. If there are things that need to be changed in our life to better follow your mission, which is to listen to you, to pray, to receive healing, to live out our faith and be a good witness, then please, God, work in and with us to make those changes. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, I want us to read Acts chapter 12, and I hope we can see what it means to be free and live on God's mission. Before we dive into Acts, I want to share a personal story, a moment in my life as a refugee that somehow a little bit resonates with Acts chapter 12, where God rescues Apostle Peter and helps believers live on mission, working with the Holy Spirit and sharing his message instead of living in fear and doubt. I grew up in Iran, and after high school, I served in the military, then spent 4 years earning $2 a day in a fabric shop. It wasn't easy for me, so for a better life, I used my father's savings and a loan to hire a smuggler and come to Canada as a refugee. When I arrived in Canada, I couldn't speak the language and had no support, and knew I was not a true Christian. In fact, all I knew about Jesus was that he was a prophet according to Islam. I hadn't fled danger or persecution, but used the refugee case to seek permanent residency, which troubled me deeply. In Canada, immigration didn't believe my story and thought I was from Saudi Arabia and not Iran. So they sent me to prison in North Fraser. And immigration demanded $5,000 bail for my release. But I only had $200, which I kept that check for me until this day. My father was ready to sell his only apartment to help me, but God provided in ways I could never expect. One day, a pastor named Harold, whom I had never met, visited my cell. He prayed for me and gave me a Persian Bible, which is this Bible. I kept it. This is like 22 years. As I read the Bible for the first time in my life, God softened my heart and I believed in him. Before this, I didn't like religious people and saw Christianity as just another religion. I often judged religious people for their hypocrisy, for their pride and corruption. I thought like Mahatma Gandhi, I think, that if this was Christianity, I didn't want it. But in prison, I faced my own sins, my own brokenness. God knew I needed to be away from people to look at myself, to look at my own sins instead of focusing on others. What about you? Are your eyes on people, yourself, or on God? God was with me, freeing me spiritually and physically. Though I spent 4 months in jail, God sent 4 people to my cell offering help. One was a Catholic prisoner, one a drug dealer named Armani from Italy, one an Anglican, and one a Protestant pastor. Armani, he was special to me, who had been in prison for 18 years. He promised to pay my bail. He said the immigration system could refund him later, so I didn't need to worry. He was very peaceful and kind, but I refused his offer. I thought his money was not clean as a drug dealer. Though I rejected him, he showed me love, kindness. He hugged me at the end and we both cried, and Armani was released after 18 years. So I had a chance to celebrate his release. I now see that my judgmental attitude was wrong. As Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 to 5, do not judge or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Are you dealing with judgmentalism in your life? Or any other sins, like gossiping and creating rumor? Eventually, a pastor paid my bill, though he later asked for interest. I also learned that the church he was pastoring was corrupt. Yet God's plan was bigger than these people, their actions, or my judgmental sin. God saved me in the prison and called me to his mission. And I pray for everyone I met in that prison, that they may experience God's forgiveness, love, and salvation. Maybe you are facing struggles, financial problems, addictions, marriage issues, or loneliness and feel unworthy of his call. Maybe life feels like a prison. So let me tell you, God is with the broken. He doesn't judge like people do. He wants to save you and call you to his mission. If life feels like a prison, you are in the right place for God to work. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 2, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners. Which is worse, to think you are free but still be trapped, or to honestly face your brokenness? God is ready to heal you and give you a new purpose. So will you let him? In Acts chapter 12, God called broken people like the Apostle Peter and disciples, though they were lonely or fearful. So let's see what happened in Acts chapter 12. It was about this time that King Herod arrested some who belonged to the church, intending to persecute them. He had James, the brother of John, put to death with the sword. Herod Agrippa I, the grandson of Herod the Great, wanted to gain favor with the Jewish leader by attacking the church. He killed James, the brother of John and one of Jesus' first disciples. James became the first of the 12 apostles to die for his faith. So when he saw that this met with approval among the Jews, he proceeded to seize Peter also. After killing James, Herod planned to put Peter on trial to gain even more approval. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The church did not fight or retaliate. They prayed. Prayer is powerful. I remember when I didn't believe in Jesus, Pastor Harold came to my cell and prayed for me every Tuesday, even though we were from different cultures and I didn't understand English. His prayer planted seed in my heart that later grew into faith. So what situations in your life or community call for this kind of earnest prayer today? You can think about it, maybe every day, and pray. Let me continue with verse 6 to 10. The night before Herod was to bring Apostle Peter to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and sentries stood guard at the entrance. Peter was chained and surrounded by guards. Escape seemed impossible. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him up. "Quick, get up," he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrists. God intervened. He sent an angel to rescue Peter. They passed the first and second guards and came to the iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. Even the gate opened by God's power. So nothing can stop God's mission. Not chains, guards, or iron gates. When this had down on Peter, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, also called Mark, where many people had gathered and were praying for Peter. Peter went to the house where believers were still praying, not knowing their prayers had already been answered. Peter knocked at the outer entrance, and the servant named Rhoda came to answer the door. When she recognized Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed, she ran back with without opening it, and exclaimed, "Peter is at the door." "You are out of your mind," they told her. So believers told her, "You're out of your mind." When she kept insisting that it was so, they said, "It must be his angel." But Peter kept on knocking, and when they opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Even though they prayed, the disciples struggled to believe Peter was free. And we should say, even we sometimes struggle to believe that prayer matters. Maybe that's why sometimes I feel our prayer rooms are empty. You know, this is the same Peter who preached in Acts chapter 2 to those who rejected and crucified Jesus. This is the same Peter. It wasn't an easy preaching for him, but 3,000 people believed. Now, a couple of years have probably passed from Peter's first preaching, where many believed. But it seems that after several years, the disciples are distracted and even struggling with fear and doubt. Or I should say, with sin. The disciples may have thought their mission was over. Peter was in prison. James was killed. They were just praying and waiting, culturally speaking, maybe even for death. But this story shows us it's not the end. These disciples were reminded that they were given a second chance to be born again in Christ in order to learn and follow his plan on earth, which was to share the word of God. These disciples were reminded that they were given a second chance to be born again. That is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians, the purpose of our very being as Christian. 1 Corinthians 11:1 says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." In this story, God shows the disciples that their job is to live for his purpose until they are with God in eternity. Today, the phrase "living in mission" may sound like a church term or something only missionaries do, and in other countries only. But to live on mission means to find and help the lost, to love others with sacrifice, and to pray and bring hope and healing to those who are hurting. If you feel stuck, just going to church, working and resting, or if you are focused on comfort, like chasing a North American dream life, this is a wake-up call. God has called us to live out our faith every moment, trusting him. Our lives no longer belong to us, but to Jesus. This story challenges us to pray with confidence, trust God, and remember there are still people who need to hear the gospel. God is still working and calling us to join him. So what chains are holding you back? Do you ever feel like if you talk to people, they won't believe you? Or that your life is not good enough, and if people look at you, they won't believe in God? Remember, the Apostle Peter preached to people who not only didn't believe in Jesus, they were the ones who killed Jesus. If you think your audience are difficult, remember Jesus, remember Peter. Yet on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit touched people's heart. People repented and received the gift of salvation. So God can change your life and bring healing, and the Holy Spirit will use your story and help people to repent and believe. So do you believe in the Spirit? Do you have the Spirit? Do you want to have the Spirit? Today is the day of Pentecost, where believers around the world remember how the Holy Spirit empowered Peter's message and people repented and believed. Let's continue with verse 17. After being free, Peter mentioned with his hand for them to be quiet and described how the Lord had brought him out of prison. Tell James and the other brothers and sisters about this, his story, his released story, he said. And then he left for another place. Peter shared his story, his testimony, and asked the believers to spread the good news. And in verse 24, we read, "But the word of God continued to spread and flourish." What is the word of God? Jesus is the word of God. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God." Jesus is God. He is the word of God. We should understand that this story is all about Jesus, not necessarily the miracles. We read James was killed. There's no miracle there. We know later on Peter was crucified. But no matter what the word of God, no matter what, the word of God is continued. The word of God continued to spread. What we can learn from this story is that our story must reflect God's mission. God uses our story to equip us as believers so that non-believers will experience the word of God, Jesus, and his eternal salvation. The early church understood this. Despite their weaknesses and differences, they prayed. They prayed together, supported each other, and shared the gospel. They lived on mission, not for personal success, but to glorify God. So this story teaches us to trust in God's plan, his power, and sovereignty. When life seems impossible, pray earnestly, whether individually or as a community. This morning, one of my brother in Christ got up earlier than me at 6 a.m., and he's my mentor. We are almost same age, 2 years different. And that was his verse for me. 1 Peter 5:8, "Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." So when life seems impossible, not if, pray earnestly. Second, remember that God can intervene. He will when we pray and bring freedom in unexpected ways. And finally, remember God set you free to share your life story and encourage others to learn about Jesus, the creator of heaven and earth, and his salvation. So if you are a believer and feel asleep, let the Holy Spirit to wake you up. Live on his mission and spread the word of God, no matter what the circumstances is. And if you are searching for the truth and do not believe in him, remember that truth, which is Jesus Christ, will set you free, not your circumstances. As some of you know, I'm working at Eagle Ridge Bible Fellowship, our church, as a part-time pastor. We were praying to see where God is leading us so I can follow my calling wisely, me and my family. Our prayers have opened the door for me to join my wife, Jessica, as a part-time missionary with International Student Ministry Canada, ISMC. ISMC's focus is to share the gospel with international students. Some of them are even ERBF members and got baptized here, and we heard their story. I would like to share this video about ISMC, then I will invite one of our previous students to share her testimony with us. Thank you.
My vision is that ISMC will be the avant-garde catalyst of international student ministries around the world, empowering international students to impact the world through Jesus Christ.
ISMC has a bunch of stuff going on campus, and you know, most of our campuses will have a focus club as kind of the hub, our main student event. Many students come here and find that it's lonely, that they have a hard time just fitting in culturally, the language barrier. And so focus club becomes their friendship group. It becomes a community. It's where they really find they belong when they're in Canada.
Just having that safe space where students from all kinds of background can come and have very honest conversations about God, religion, philosophy, all kinds of things.
There is somewhere that I can relieve my stresses, to be with friends, away from the studies, away from issues and problems.
I have so many friends from all nationalities on campus. Some of my classmates see me and they're like, everybody knows you on campus. I'm like, because of Focus Club.
From there, we like to take the relationships outside of that, whether it's going for coffee with students, being in Bible study, discipleship, evangelism.
We can give them the one thing that they miss most, which is family, a sense of a home away from home. And where does that happen for Asian, Latin American, African students? That happens around a table because they are very social.
We open up our home as, kind of a doorstep into Canada. We're thinking of them going to school and learning, so, you know, to create the best environment that we can. And we learn to love these people.
This is my family in Canada. I feel so loved because they respect my values and what are my beliefs. And they really embraced me as not only a student, like a daughter. And that's very special for me.
Christ can use you just doing the ordinary things that you do. It doesn't take a lot of special skill. It takes what most people already have. You can speak English, you can make a meal, you can have an authentic friendship. It's the reward of the one-on-one, the relationship that we build with these students.
Families can do a lot for these international students, but just to be a family, just to be a home away from home, provide a meal once in a while, play some games, that's what these students are looking for.
This is something you have to do because God puts you there as a local church and a pastor to reach out to the world through the world coming to your door.
Our big dream is that in 10 years, no international student will come to Canada and not have the opportunity to be loved and led by ISMC or others we've empowered to do so. So we need you. We need you to pray for our students and our team. We need you to plug in your time and talents. And we certainly need you to partner with us financially. We need people who will invest in this awesome mission of reaching international students. And don't forget, your ROI, your return on investment, is eternal. You can't beat that.
Thank you, Doc. Martina is one of our students, previous students. She's here today to share her testimony.
Thank you, Yusuf, for inviting me to share my testimony. Good morning, everyone. My name is Martina. I'm from China, and I came to Canada about 11 years ago to study early childhood education in Niagara College. At the beginning, life as an international student was full of challenges. I had no friend, I missed my mom, my dad, and I had to learn everything in this new country, from how to take a bus, how to apply a major, and even how to be polite like Canadian. The biggest struggle, of course, is language. And still, honestly, I'm still struggling. I practiced my testimony many times yesterday. But I still love staying in Canada because I know God brought me here for a reason. When I was in college, I joined a club called Focus Club, which is in the video. I was so excited to join in. I thought, oh, I know I can learn how to concentrate better on studying because it's called focus. But later on, I realized, oh, it's actually a social club. I think, okay, not too bad. I maybe can make some friends. And I did. I made a lot of wonderful friends who introduced a lot of Canadian culture to me, told me what bubble is, and also invite me to a lot of fun activities, like the video shows. Later on, I realized that, oh, this club was run by Christian people. They never minded my broken English, and they invite me to some church activities, like singing Christmas tree at Broadway Church, and a Chinese New Year event at another church. And also, I joined ISMC, where every Monday there was a $2 dinner and a worship and a chance to make friends with locals and other international students. And these connections actually helped me feel like I was starting to belong here in Canada. As I got to know my Christian friends more, it's easier for me to open my heart to know them more. I began ask them some questions like, why do you follow Jesus? What do you believe? Growing up in China, there is not a lot, Christian-friendly country, so I didn't have the chance to really know Jesus. I was very curious, and I also had many questions about the purpose, the life, the world, and the universe. I was invited to a Bible study group, and the more I read the Bible, the more answer I found. One day, I asked a friend, how does somebody just become a Christian? He didn't give me a long explanation instead of asking me two questions. Do you believe Jesus? I said, yes. Do you believe the Bible? I said, yes. Then he said, I was baptized. It was not a surprise anymore because I had already come to believe that Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior, and my best friend. Looking back, I can see that the whole journey was about becoming friends with Jesus. He revealed truth to me, answered my questions, guided me, comforted me, loved me. Today, I work in a Christian daycare. I want to share God's love to the little ones. I want to teach them the truth. I want to share them the faith that changed my life. In China, there's a saying, teachers are gardeners. Yes, we are gardeners, planting seeds of love and truth in children's hearts. My identity has changed from international student to a daycare teacher. But the struggles haven't disappeared. In fact, some new challenges have come. It is not easy to be a Christian, but I know where I can go. I can go to Jesus, my best friend in Canada, in this world, and in my life. Thank you.
You hear sometimes some people never heard about Jesus. And I'm also one of them, so I never heard of Christ until I came here and had chance to read the Bible. Thank you, Martina. And I'm so thankful for your faithfulness. I talked with one of our students to come, and she was sick. And I just called Martina 2 days ago, and she accepted to come and share her story. I hope you understand more about the mission and vision of ISMC. ISMC's staff must raise their own income, which means I do fundraise for my income and for the ministry costs. I don't like it. But I'm thankful to God. We are seeking prayer and financial support, financial partners, for this ministry. While one-time gifts are appreciated, we pray God will raise monthly supporters. I just want to say this is a personal decision between you and your Heavenly Father with no obligation. When I came to Canada, God led me to support a family from Ethiopia for 8 years. Even though I was earning a minimum income, and still I was a refugee. Later, he called me to partner with a refugee family, and I had to shift my support. Similarly, my wife. When my wife Jessica served for 6 years in China as a missionary, many supported her faithfully. But after marrying me, some donors felt called to continue supporting missions in China. Jessica sacrificed half of her income, thank you, to join me in ministry here, showing that love and God's calling are greater than money. She also left her beautiful dog back in China. If God leads you to partner with us, whether through a one-time gift or a monthly support of $10, $200, $300, or any amount, it will help us continue his mission among young people from diverse backgrounds. As part-time staff with ISMC, my goal is to raise $3,750 monthly for my income and ministry expenses. So your support will make a difference. To support our ministry directly through ISMC, go to the ISMC website, click on the staff page, and scroll down to find our names. Jessica and I also will be in the foyer if you would like to learn more about ISMC or upcoming fundraising events that we are planning. If God is leading you, we would love to connect with you after the service. And for final thoughts, remember, our circumstances should not control our mind, life, and mission. It is God who called us into his mission, not our circumstances. Because God set us free to live out his mission. As we heard Martin, who is her best friend, is Jesus. He set her free. And he called her to share her story. So I end with that today. I want to ask the worship team to come and lead us in worship. Thank you. Thank you for leading us into worship. These words are so meaningful. What I was thinking, it's more beautiful when the word changed to action. People will see that. For the benediction, I just remembered Jesus' word in Luke 15, he says, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents. Heaven celebrates for those who come to Christ. So this week, remember that God has set you free from the bondage of sin. Though we still live on earth and face challenges, as Martina also mentioned, we still have challenges. Spend time in prayer. And share your story with others. Your story matters. Go and live on his mission, praying, trusting, and pointing others to God's glory, whether individually or as a community. And as we talked about prayer, we have Glenn and Dana who are going to stay here. And if you have a prayer request, please join them. Thank you. God bless you.